Genesis chapter 17, beginning with verse 1. Hear the word of God. When Abram was 99 years old, the Lord appeared to Abram, and he said to him, "I am God Almighty. Walk before me and be blameless, and I will make my covenant between me and you, and will make you exceedingly numerous." Then Abram fell on his face, and God said to him, "As for me, this is my covenant with you. You shall be the ancestor of a multitude of nations. No longer shall your name be Abram, but your name shall be Abraham, for I have made you the ancestor of a multitude of nations. I will make you exceedingly fruitful, and I will make nations of you, and kings shall come from you. I will establish my covenant between me and you and your offspring after you throughout their generations for an everlasting covenant to be God to you and to your offspring after you. And I will give to you and to your offspring after you the land where you are now, an alien, all the land of Canaan, for a perpetual holding. And I will be their God." This is the word of the Lord. Let us bow in prayer. May the words of my mouth and the meditations of all of our hearts be acceptable in thy sight, O Lord, our strength and our Redeemer. Amen. My wife and I were headed in two different directions. I was going to Aldi's, but Mary wanted to shop at Walmart. So I dropped her off in front of the Walmart store and said, "I'll be back here in 40 minutes, honey." But as it happened, 40 minutes turned out to be 60 or more. And when I returned to the Walmart store, Mary was standing there, hands on her hips, a scowl on her face, and a word or two forming on her tongue. She said with exasperation, "Where have you been? You promised to be here 20 minutes ago." I had given Mary my word, and she had obviously expected me to keep my promise. I won't tell you what happened after that. Promises are important. We couldn't live a normal life without them. Have you ever noticed how many things in our lives depend on someone's promise? We enter into business, get married, take a job, buy a piece of property, and do thousands of other things because of someone's promise. That is also the way it is in the realm of the Spirit. God has given us many promises, and we expect Him to keep those promises. Because of His promises, we believe that our sins are forgiven, that we possess eternal life, that God hears and answers prayer, that God is providing for us now, and that He will also provide for us fully in the life to come. We trust in these promises, and they touch upon every aspect of our lives as we act in response to those promises. Abram, the foremost patriarch of Israel, trusted in the promises of God and lived his life in the light of them. The story of Abram begins in Genesis 12, and in that chapter, God makes a long list of promises to Abram. We read, "The Lord said to Abram, 'Leave your country, leave your people, leave your father's household, and go to the land I will show you, and I will make you a great nation, and I will bless you. I will make your name great, and you will be a blessing.'" An additional promise is given to Abram in chapter 15. God says, "Look now toward heaven and count the stars if you can. So shall your seed be." And in Genesis 17, when Abraham is 99 years old, God promises again, I will make my covenant with you and will multiply you greatly. You will be the father of many nations, and no longer shall your name be called Abram, but Abraham, for a father of many nations will I make of you. Of all the promises given to Abraham, the most important was the promise of a son, the promise of a seed through which Abraham would become the father of many nations. That was the salient, the most important promise. Particularly in Old Testament times, a multitude of children was considered a sign of God's favor, a reason for joy. Abram wanted children and believed that God could keep his promise. At the age of 75, Abram left his country, parted from his kinfolk, and followed the call of God. He set out toward a land that God pledged to him, counting on the divine word that the new land would be a gift not only to him, but to his seed after him. Dr. Donald Gray Barnhouse tells us, Abram was the patriarch's name in its earlier form. And that name, Abram, means father of many. But the key to the story is this, that this man, even though he had a name like that, father of many, he was the father of none. He had no son to carry on his name, no descendant to inherit the family property and possessions. In Western lands, having no children may not be a particular disaster, but in the Orient, having no offspring was cause for deep personal embarrassment. Abram wanted desperately a child. No wonder then that Abram seized on the promises given by God. He was getting old, perhaps a bit desperate to have children. To offer him both land and children was an irresistible enticement. Scripture says, so Abram went, as the Lord had told him, and they set forth to go to the land of Canaan. And when they had come to the land of Canaan, the Lord appeared to Abram and said, to your descendants I give this land. Where Abram pitched his tent was an area strategically located along the roads of camel caravans. These caravans carried commerce of the ancient world between Egypt and areas north and east. In time, Abram owned wells of water, and his flocks and herds increased. Scripture says that Abram became very rich in cattle, in silver, and in gold. When the caravans of merchants came into the land of Canaan, either from the north or from the south, they stopped at Abram's wells. Abram took care of the needs of the camels and the servants of the traders. Food was sold to the travelers. And no doubt in the evening the merchants came to Abram's tent to pay their respects. The question would have followed a set pattern. Who are you? How old are you? How long have you been here? When the trader had introduced himself, Abram would then be obliged to respond with his name. I am Abram, the father of many. It must have happened 100 times, 1,000 times, and each time it was more galling than the time before. Oh, your name is Abram, father of many? Congratulations. And how many children do you have? And the answer was so humiliating to Abram. I'm afraid I don't have any children. Many a time there must have been a half-concealed snort of humor at the incongruity of the name and the fact that Abram had no children. Abram must have steeled himself for the question and for the reply. He must have hated these repeated situations with great bitterness. Dr. Barnhouse relates that once he knew a man whose name was Wrench, W-R-E-N-C-H. Mr. Wrench followed the practice of dividing his acquaintances into two categories. One, those who didn't make fun of his name. And the second category, those who made jokes about his name. Mr. Wrench could feel an automatic cringing inside when someone would hear his name and begin one of the corny cracks which he had heard in every possible variety. Was he related to Monkey Wrench? Or was he a left-handed wrench? And so on. Abram would have understood Mr. Wrench very well. Abram's name was father of many, yet he is the father of none. The variations and possibilities were innumerable, and I believe it's possible to detect in the narrative the fact that there was much titillation and gossip about it. The servants who heard the jokes and who saw Abram's embarrassment repeated the details to friends. You see, it was a world of cloth. People lived in tents. And so both eye, especially ear, could know what's going on. There must have been many conversations on the subject. Who was sterile? Abram or his wife Sarah? Was Abram really a complete man? Oh, he was the patriarch. His word was law. He had a multitude of cattle and many servants. But he had no children. And his name was Father of Many. 25 years passed in this way. Abram declined in health and now was feeble. He was 99 years old when God appeared to him and reminded him of the promise which had been made. Abram had followed God's call. He still trusted in God's promises. God said unto Abram, I am the Almighty God, walk thou before me, and I will make my covenant between me and thee, and will multiply thee exceedingly. The promise was still there. Abram fell on his face before God, and God continued, saying, Behold, my covenant is with thee, and thou shalt be a father of many nations of people. Neither shall thy name any more be called Abram, but thy name shall be called Abraham, for a father of many nations I will make of thee. I can't help but think of what must have happened when Abraham broke the news to his family and servants that he was now changing his name. They all knew that his former name was Abram, father of many, and they knew it had been somewhat of a thorn to him. So we can imagine the stir of interest and curiosity when he announced, I am going to change my name. Were there some who said to themselves with a laugh, the old man can't stand it anymore. It's gotten to him under his skin. After all these years, to have a name, father of many, and yet he's the father of none. And then the old man speaks, I am to be known from now on as Abraham, father of many nations of people. We can almost hear the silence of the stunned audience as the truth breaks upon them. Father of nations of people? Then the laughter breaks forth behind the scenes. The old man must be coming senile. He has gone crazy. At 99, he's getting wild ideas. Father of many nations of people? Is there ever anything more ridiculous for a man of his age? Well, it may have been ridiculous for a man of 99 to think like this from a human point of view, but it was not ridiculous from God's point of view. And Abraham saw things from God's point of view. Nothing is foolish when it comes from God. In fact, St. Paul writes that even the foolishness of God is wiser than men, and the weakness of God is stronger than men. Abraham believed God, and Paul says of his faith, Abram staggered not at the promise of God through unbelief, but was strong in faith, giving glory to God. Abraham was fully persuaded that what God had promised, he could fulfill. Before he turned 100, born to Abraham was his promised seed, a boy named Isaac. How shocking to all the servants who had laughed. How surprising to the traders who again passed by Abram's house. It was astounding. It was a miracle. A baby boy born to an aged couple. Certainly, God must have been in this. God is faithful. He keeps his promises. He is true, though the whole world be false. Thousands of years later, another miracle baby would be born. Scripture declares that the angel Gabriel was sent from God to a virgin named Mary. And the angel came to her and said, "Hail, O favored one! The Lord is with you. Do not be afraid, for you have found favor with God. And behold, you will conceive in your womb and bear a son, and you shall call his name Jesus." And Mary said, How can this be, since I have known no husband?" And the angel said to her, "With God, nothing is impossible." My friends, God says to you and me, "Nothing is impossible for me. Trust in my word that I've given to you. I will keep my promises to you. For as the promised seed was born to Abraham, and as the fulfillment of the promised seed was born to the world through the Virgin Mary, so all that I have promised to you will take place in good time." This is the word of the Lord. Let us bow in prayer. Einstein, Heifetz, Mendelssohn, J.D. Salinger, Isaac Asimov, all of these people and more who have blessed our world are the seed of Abraham born through the promise and miraculous power of God. How poor our world would be without them. But even poorer without Jesus, the greatest seed from the line of Abraham. For in him we have the promise of life abundant and life everlasting. Thank you, Lord, for fulfilling your promise in each and every way, day after day after day. Amen.